This podcast was recorded Thursday, July 18th at 10:31 a.m. You know, things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like maybe we can go a week without some kind of earth-shattering development in the presidential campaign. Let's talk politics. This is Snollig Oster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollig Osters, those shrewd politicians who, you know, when they want to, can unify in times of a national emergency. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, an interview with a longtime Ohio-based political consultant who jumped aboard the J.D. Vance train a long time ago. But first, when former President Trump took the stage in rural western Pennsylvania Saturday, we all wondered if he would use the occasion to announce his running mate, possibly Senator Vance of nearby Ohio. As we all know, that's not what happened.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
It appears a bullet from the would-be assassin's assault-style rifle grazed the former president's ear, but he escaped otherwise unharmed. Another man was killed and two others wounded before the gunman was killed. The attempted assassination has stunned the country, roiled the political campaign, and brought calls for a calmer tone.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the need for us to lower the temperature in our politics and to remember, while we may disagree, we are not enemies. We're neighbors. We're friends, co-workers, citizens, and most importantly, we are fellow Americans. We must stand together. Yesterday's shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania.
The shooting has prompted questions about security, the effects of hyper-partisan rhetoric, and has us all wondering what will happen next. The shooting brought nearly unified messages from Ohio's elected leaders. Here's a rundown. Governor Mike DeWine said, quote, Fran and I are praying for President Trump, his family, and our country. Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, in a statement, violence of any kind is unacceptable. We cannot allow it in our political discourse or our democracy. My thoughts are with all impacted by this incident, and I wish former President Trump a quick recovery. Senator Sherrod Brown, also a Democrat, wrote, Connie and I are relieved that President Trump is safe and are praying for the health and the safety of all those attending the rally. Political violence is completely unacceptable and has no place in our democracy. That was Sherrod Brown. His competitor in the U.S. Senate race coming up this fall, U.S. Senate candidate Bernie Moreno, wrote, Bridget, his wife, and I are also overwhelmingly thankful that President Trump is doing well and has never stopped fighting for the people of this country, no matter the personal sacrifice. The one outlier was Senator J.D. Vance, who posted, quote, Today is not just some isolated incident. The central premise of the Biden campaign is that President Donald Trump is an authoritarian fascist who must be stopped at all costs. That rhetoric led directly to President Trump's attempted assassination, unquote. Of course, we don't know the motives of the suspected shooter. We don't know if he was aware of the political rhetoric. Almost a week after the incident, FBI investigators either don't know or are not saying publicly what led that suspect, Thomas Crooks, to climb atop that building and fire at the former president. So, that being said, J.D. Vance softened his tone a bit at the Republican convention this week. We will also see if this spirit of unity and the denunciation of extreme political rhetoric will last more than a week or so. Okay, that was Saturday. Then came Monday.
Former President Donald Trump has named Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate. The news comes on the first day of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And as Trump looks to...
As we were catching our breath, former President Trump ended the speculation and named Ohio's junior Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate. Vance, who worked extremely hard for this nod, addressed the Republican convention this week.
And so tonight, Mr. Chairman, I stand here humbled, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to say I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
Vance almost immediately outlined what likely will be his primary message to voters for the next 4 months.
Never in my wildest imagination could I have believed that I'd be standing here tonight. I grew up in Middletown, Ohio, a small town where people spoke their minds, built with their hands, and loved their God, their family, their community, and their country with their whole hearts. But it was also a place that had been cast aside and forgotten by America's ruling class in Washington. When I was in the fourth grade, a career politician by the name of Joe Biden supported NAFTA, a bad trade deal that sent countless good jobs to Mexico.
Trump's pick of J.D. Vance was not completely unexpected. Trump identified Vance as one of three finalists, along with Senator Marco Rubio of Florida and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. To get an idea as to why Trump may have picked Vance, we turn to a longtime advisor to Ohio's junior senator. Jay Shabria is a longtime political consultant to Ohio Republicans. He's a longtime supporter and colleague of the now GOP vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance. Jay, welcome to Snollygoster.
Thanks so much, Mike. That's just really surreal for you even to say that. But yeah, that's a surreal thing. That's amazing. Well, thanks, Mike.
Let's talk about the surreal. Surreality? Is that surreality? How do you pronounce it?
I don't know what the word is.
Take us through the past couple days, couple weeks, couple months, how this went down. Give us a peek behind the curtain, how you found out, how Senator Vance found out that he was Donald Trump's pick to be the running mate.
Well, I found out via a text about 10 minutes before the rest of the world found out. I was not in Wisconsin with him. And, you know, he found out. He got the call. He sent me a text. And so he just found out, like, for sure, minutes before the world found out. Mm-hmm. So I will say this. This, you know, there's a narrative that Donald Trump is not a disciplined man. I don't think that's true. I think he's pretty disciplined when he wants to be. I think he's undisciplined in the eyes of the media and other people when he wants to be as well, too. I think he knows how to play this stuff up.
So was he disciplined in that he withheld to the public who his pick was, or did he just make his pick in the last day or so?
So I don't know the answer to that, right? Yeah. I mean, look, I will never pretend to speak for Donald Trump, and
sure,
we'll probably say that a few times in this interview, so I actually don't know the answer to that. I always... Like, logically, it always made sense to me that J.D. Vance should be his pick, but you just don't know what goes into his thought process. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when he actually made the final determination. My guess is he was open to other things, but he kind of was leaning towards this for a while, but I don't know that for a fact.
So, again, to the process, how long has J.D. Vance wanted this? He has worked hard for former President Trump, raised money for him, went to his trial in New York. He sought his endorsement for the U.S. Senate race very hard, got the endorsement. How long has he wanted to join the ticket?
Well, I don't know that he actually wanted to join the ticket. I think there was an opportunity to join the ticket, and there were people that were interested in him in recent months. So I don't know that it would be right to say that he's wanted to be on the ticket for a long time. I actually don't think he even considered that for the longest time. I mean, his goal was to be a United States senator and to be the best United States senator he could be. He certainly achieved the goal of becoming a senator, and I think he was on his way into becoming a great senator. But now I think he's going to be a great vice president.
Let's talk about the job. The number one job,
sure,
of being a vice president is to be president should the need arise. J.D. Vance is 39 years old. He has less than 2 years of experience in the Senate. Is he ready to be president of the United States?
Yeah, 100%. Look, I think you're right. That is the number one goal, to be president. I think there are many different ways to figure out how to become president. You know, look, one of the things that I'll say is you also have to understand where regular people come from. I think that empathy, the real deep understanding of people's plights is important. And if you read his book or you saw the movie, which, you know, they're skyrocketing up the charts again with his pick, you'll know where he came from. Look, the guy also joined the military. He joined the Marines and he served overseas in Iraq. I think he's going to be the first major party candidate to have been a Marine. And he's certainly the first one to have served in one of the newer wars, too. So he understands, he has that deep understanding as well, too. And look, he was a successful businessman. He put together a Senate campaign when he had never before run for office before, not county commissioner, now township trustee, not Congress. He had never run before, and he put together a world-class campaign to win, as you know, what was probably the most watched Senate campaign in the country. You don't do those things without being able to put together a team, know where your strengths are, know where your deficiencies are, and make sure that you've got the people around you that can do that. I have no doubt that J.D. Vance can do this. Look, the other thing I'll say, too, is my experience has been working with him for the past 8 years is the media and some of the elite folks always tend to they tend to characterize him and they tend to underestimate him. And those are not good practices because he will always break that caricature and he will always exceed expectations.
Some of that caricature is based on what he has said himself. And he had apparently, sure, according to a report, he had called Trump America's Hitler, compared him to cultural heroin, said he was a never-Trumper. What changed in J.D. Vance's mind to now be his, Donald Trump's, running mate in the 2024 election?
Well, I think Donald Trump's presidency changed his mind. Look, you know, there. I think when you look at the way the country is right now, most Ohioans, since we're talking about your audience there, most Americans would say they were better off 4 years ago than they are today. And that's because, you know, they can't afford to put food on the table. Immigration's terrible. Security in our cities, you know, the crime rate is sky high. These are real issues that Americans are facing. And I think that J.D. Vance did two things. One is the way in which the media treated him when they over extended their criticisms beyond truth. He saw that, but then he also saw how he succeeded as a president, and those two things changed his mind. Look, Mike, I've talked to in recent days people that were never Trump 4 years ago, 8 years ago, people that you and I both know.
Yes,
they have softened in their hatred for Trump. Some of them are supporting him. Some of them are fervent supporters of him. This is not just a J.D. Vance story. This is a story about a lot of folks out there, because largely because of where Biden has been, but also because they saw how good he was as a president. Trump was as a president, and so this is not like some kind of isolated incident. Now, I do think that this is a talking point that the national media will focus on. But as you know, in our last Senate race, it was litigated. It was litigated over and over and over again. But, you know, we happen to win that race.
Yeah, that's the first question I had. This is all old news to Ohioans, that argument, his change of position on the personality of Donald Trump. Now we'll see how that plays out in the national media, because they're recycling a lot of the stuff that we've covered for 2 years. We talked at an event after
well,
election.
Well, let me say this point, too. So, yes, they did. It's being recycled nationally, too. But remember, that was a nationally watched race.
Yes.
The media was – it was all over. It was – every major TV station, it was every major newspaper, every major podcast in the country, they all covered this too. So largely it's kind of baked in somewhere. Now, certainly it's exploding. I'm not a fool to say that this is not a bigger story now, but there are people out there that kind of understand this is where he was and understand Shady's reasoning.
And as you said, he is not alone in being a former never-Trumper.
Right.
You and I have talked
you
before.
Know, one more point on this, too, and I'm sorry. You know, I've actually seen evidence, even before the disastrous debate that Biden had, that there were starting to be more never-Biden voters than never-Trump voters out there. Look, I don't know that I'd completely buy that from the timeline, but I certainly think that's probably true today. So that's a real problem for Biden, and it kind of cuts against this narrative that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, in that J.D. Vance has come around on the personality of Donald Trump, but he's been pretty aligned with the issues that Donald Trump supports. Immigration, getting tougher on immigration, getting tougher on tariffs and foreign competition that has closed, you know, mills and factories, and especially in the Midwest, and a less of an interventionist foreign policy. So though he's been pretty consistent on those issues, right, Jay?
Well, I think that's right. Look, and when you read Hillbilly Elegy, or you see the movie, or you see some of his early writings, I mean, he has been very aligned with the way the party has become, what the party's become, right? Right now, the Republican Party is the party of working class. And all of those issues, or most of the issues you just talked about, really benefit the working class. And I think JD is completely aligned on those fronts. And I do think that that's primarily one of the big reasons that Donald Trump picked him to be the VP candidate.
He is more conservative, you know, along the edges, more conservative than Donald Trump on the issue of abortion. He has recently said he now supports what former President Trump says should happen with the abortion issue. It should be left to the states. Previously, J.D. Vance was a little stronger on a national regulation of abortion. Is that a weakness you believe in J.D. Vance's candidacy?
No, there's no weakness here. Look, at the end of the day, you know, President Trump is the head of the ticket. He's the one that decides the policy. There's always going to be points of they're going to agree on almost everything. But, you know, President Trump is the candidate, and that's who people are actually voting for in November. And I don't know that there's any more issues about that.
So what does J.D. Vance, Ohio is set. If Donald Trump were to lose Ohio, it would be a tremendous surprise. How much of a factor will J.D. Vance be in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin? Because that's the talk, that J.D. Vance brings some Rust Belt cred to the top of the ticket.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And look, here's the thing. The Trump campaign is not of 2024 is not the Trump campaign of 2016. It is highly organized. They know exactly what they're doing. It is a machine. And again, this is probably a place that people underestimate them because they've seen past versions of this. But I absolutely think that J.D. Vance can communicate with people. So look, he communicates with people in the cocktail party set, people that, you know, like to talk about these things and think it's really interesting. But he also, and more important, is able to talk to working class Americans, whether they're pipe fitters, whether they're teachers, whether they're plumbers. Whatever it is, he's able to communicate a message because he comes from them. And it doesn't matter what ethnicity they are, if they're Black, white, Latino, they all have that same understanding how important work is to the American economy. I think if he is in Michigan, if he's in Pennsylvania, if he's in Wisconsin, if he's, in Pennsylvania, I said that already, even like in rural Virginia, which I think the map can open up to. I think there are lots of opportunities for him to deliver a message and really try to help deliver a very big Republican win this November.
Does this naming of J.D. Vance as the running mate, did the prospects of Joe Biden dropping out of the race, did that weigh into this decision at all? Will it matter going forward?
So I that's speculating on what Trump was thinking. I have no idea, no ability to wage that. But what I would say is, one of the things that I know about JD is he is a unbelievable debater. We worked on, I helped prep him on for the debates, in our Senate campaign. And I think the narrative going into there that Tim Ryan was really going to beat him up. But what happened after the debates was the caricature of him started to get dispelled by the people, maybe not in the media, but by people. We saw that in the numbers. And they started to understand that he's not who he's being portrayed to be. I look forward to a debate if he's debating Kamala Harris or if he's debating another person on the ticket. I think he's going to match up extremely well. And I'm guessing, just a guess, I think that's probably one of the reasons he got picked as well.
Jay Shabria, longtime political consultant here in Ohio, longtime ally of now vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance. Thanks for joining us on Snodgrasser.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave Podcast from NPR.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. You know, we're going to give it a rest this week, because as shrewd and as sometimes selfish politicians can be, this week, almost to a person, regardless of party, they did the right thing. They denounced the assassination attempt. They worried for the safety of former President Trump, and then were thankful for his escape. The vast majority of leaders of both parties did not point fingers, and they said political violence, no matter how much people dislike those on the other side, political violence has no place in our society. My guess is that unity will not last, the rhetoric will once again become hyperbolic, but for this week at least, it has cooled, and that's a good thing. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. And just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.